We begin the current daf, Maseftes Bamitzia, daf Lamed Zayin. Begin 12 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and the theme, a related theme of this parak of Hamafkid, which talks about the halachas of a Shomer, which is what a Pekatan is when he watches a deposit. So the Mishnah discusses, in the cases over here, a related halacha to the halachas of Pekatan. So the Mishnah begins, Amar L'Shnayim, if someone tells to two people, one Mr. A, Mr. B, Gizalti Le'echad Mechem Mana, I don't know who. One of you guys, I stole a mana. The any day it became, I don't know which one of you it was. But I want to do tshuva. I just don't know which one of you I stole from. Or a similar case. Mana. One of your fathers deposited by me to watch him a mana. The any day who, and I don't know which one it is. So he's coming and he's telling both of these people, said, it's got, one of you guys I owe money. Only one, not the other. Says the Mishnah, so he gives each one the amount that he's not sure about, he gives each one that mana. And the reason being, says the Mishnah, because he admits to it by himself. So since he admitted to himself, to them, so he has to give each one that doubtful amount, which the Gemara is going to explain why is that a reason that he admit on his own, why does he have to give each one a mana when it's really only one that he owes and not the other. That's what the Mishnah says. Similar cases. Shnaim shefkidu etzalechad. Two people that deposited money by one person. Zemana, v'zemasayim, one gave 100, one gave 200. Ze'oimer, shalimasayim, now when they're coming, at a later point in time, when they're coming to collect deposits, this guy says, I'm the one that gave 200. V'zer, shalimasayim, and the other one says, I'm the one that gave 200. Now, really, one gave 200, one gave 100, but both of them are claiming they're the ones that gave the 200. Says the Mishnah, noisn l'zemana u'l'zemana. Look, he gives each one 100, because either way, definitely each one gave at least 100. Vashar, now the rest, that doubtful 100, which is from that 200, Yehimunach Ashiyavaliyo is placed on the side till Yehiyahu never comes, because we don't know who's the one that gave the 200, who's gave the 100. He doesn't have to give from his own money to each one 200, rather gives each one 100. Most definitely each gave at least 100. Who gets the extra 100? We don't know. If we stay till Yehiyahu never comes and he resolves the doubts. Now, on that, Amar Abayi, he disagrees. He says, Im Kain, if that's the case, that's how you're resolving the doubt. You give each one at least 100, and it's the remaining 100 which you leave on the side. Then Mahiv said Ramai. What is the guy who's lying, the tricker, what is he losing out? Why should he ever admit to the truth? Anyways, he's getting his 100. He's just saying, let me get more, let me lie, let me say I'm the one that gave the 200. Now when you say the extra 100 is on the side, it's like, okay, what do I lose? Why should I admit? I mean, anyways, getting the 100 I gave. Ella rather says Rabbi Yisi, Hakol Yehimunach Achiyavliyo. You know what? We're going to make the Ramai lose, put him in the hotspot, see what it feels like to be losing money. Then he'll come running and say, oh, I admit, I'm really the one that only had the 100. Because or else, what would he lose? So we take all the money, all the 300, we put on the side, say, you know what? We don't know. No one's getting anything. No one's getting anything. I'll admit. So says Rabbi Yisi disagrees. We won't give each one the 100 and put the third 100 on the side. We put everything on the side. Says the Mishnah, the same machlekes is regarding money, v'chein shnei kelim. Same thing is regarding if two people deposit utensils, vessels with somebody. Echad yofa mana, v'echad yofa elef zuz. One gives something worth 100, one gives something worth 1,000 zuz. Ze oime yofa shali, v'ze oime yofa shali. Each one's claiming that the more expensive one that was deposited was his. So the Tanakam again says, noisin es akotin la'achmen, so the smaller one, the cheaper one, is given to one of them. And from the value of the more expensive one, we give the same value of the smaller one to the second person. Vashar and the rest, the difference, is put on the side till Yonah becomes exactly like the case with the money. And on that, again, he disagrees. He says, Imkin, if that's what you're doing, Mahiv said Rami, what is the Rami losing? What's the incentive, the motivation for him to admit? Rather, everything, both Kalim are put on the side until Yonah becomes, or at least till the Rami comes and admits he's a liar and that he at least should get back his thing so that we can give the rightful thing to the rightful owner. Now, the Gemara asks on the halacha of the Reisha. Again, the case of the Reisha was either that he says, I stole from one of you two guys, or your father's I had was watching money for one of you two guys, I don't remember which one, but it was one of you guys a mana. Says the Mishnah, he has to give each one now a mana. On that asks the Gemara, Amma, so we see, Misveka, out of doubt, Mafkina Mimaina. We remove money from somebody because we said you have to give each one a mana, even though it's doubtful, but he has to give now each one because he owes, out of doubt, each one a mana. And what do we see? We do not say that when someone makes a claim to a person and he says, look, I don't know if I owe you or your friend, we do not say, that the money remains in the possession of the defendant, that we shouldn't make him lose money out of doubt, and that we should leave it till Aliyah number comes, we obviously don't say that. We say that, no, you don't know. You got to pay each one that mana. That has the Gemara of Ramini, but the Seifa of the Mishnah seems to contradict the same concept in the same Mishnah of the Reisha. Because the Seifa of the Mishnah says, Shnaim Shivki Dul Eitzel Echad. When two people give a deposit to one person, Zemana Vezemasayim, 100, one gives 200. Now when they come to collect, each one's claiming he's the one that gave the 200. What does the Mishnah say? You don't give each one the 200, which each one is a doubtful 200. Rather, says the Mishnah, no. You give each one a mana, which that's from the deposited money. The total deposited money was 300. So you give each one 100. And the rest, that 300, is on the side. So what do you see? That you say, that the guy doesn't have to give up money that out of doubt that he owes. He doesn't know who he owes because he's watching the guy's money. He doesn't know. He doesn't have to give. Now that contradicts the ratio, which says when he doesn't know whose father gave the deposit, that he has to give each one the 100. But why? It's only one person that he owes. So why do you have to give it? That seems to be a contradiction in the mission itself. So Amalei, so on that the Gemara answers, Pikadin agezl karamis? What, are you asking from the Sefer of the Mishnah, which is talking about a deposit, from on the ratio, which is talking about theft? How can you ask that as a contradiction? Guzzled the Avodah Isura regarding the opening case of the Mishnah, which said when he tells two people, I stole from one of you guys a mana, where he did a violation of an Isra of Gezela. So they're considered Rabbanah. The rabbis penalized him. You don't know who you stole from? Go ahead, give each one a mana, because you stole. You shouldn't have stolen money in the first place. But Pekadin Deloy Avri Surba regarding a deposit where each one gave him, one gave 200, one gave 100, which was a deposit where he didn't do anything wrong. Now we don't know who is it that gets the 200, who gets the 100. Like on Surabanan, the rabbis did not penalize him. We don't know. So of course we remain with the Cheskes Mari that he doesn't have to give money out of debt. So that the Gemara asks, what are you answering that the Sefer is Pekadin, the Reisha is Gezel? But actually both the Sefer and the Reisha both talk about cases of Gezel and of Pekadin. Ask the Gemara, Virami Pekadin HaPekadin, we could ask the case of deposit on deposit. Virami Gezel HaGezel, we could actually ask a contradiction of the case of theft. Pekadin HaPekadin, regarding the case of deposit, where actually the safe is the one that talks about deposit, just like the Reisha, we could ask a contradiction on deposit. Because Iktani Reisha, we learned the Reisha, not only the case of when he says to two people, I stole from one of you, there was another case of the Reisha. Or one of your fathers deposited by me a mana. Ve'eni day is when I don't know which one of you guys it was your father that gave me money to watch. And that said the Mishnah, you have to give each one the mana, which you see that out of Suffolk, he does have to pay. Now, Vermini, that's contradicted from the Sefer, which had Shnaim Shevki, Dubuchulu, which is a case of deposit. And we said Yehimunach, he doesn't have to give it out of doubt. So there is a contradiction regarding deposit. So on that, Amar Rava, Rava says to resolve that first question of the theory regarding Pekadin, regarding deposit, Reisha, the Reisha of our Mishnah, which was talking about where it was one person, he doesn't know which father, but one person deposited money by him. So Nasa Kemishef Kidulay B'Shnei Kriches. It would be similar to a case of when money of two people was deposited to him in two totally different bundles, meaning when they came at two different times. If two people deposited money by him at two different times, the Havalei Lamedik, he should have been careful. He should have checked who deposited the 100 by him and who deposited the 200 by him. That is his negligence, and therefore he would be liable to pay back each one the 200. So the ratio, similarly, when one person gave him a mana, and now he doesn't know who gave it to him, whose fault is that? It's his fault. So of course he has to give each one of them a mana. Whereas Seifa, but in the case of the Seifa, which two people deposited him both at the same time, they both gave him, one gave him 100, one gave him 200. So it's as if each of these people trust each other to deposit their deposits in like one bundle to the same person. So the case of the Sefer is like as if they deposited in one bundle. Where then the Shomer, this guy who's watching it, should not have checked what's inside, who's giving what. Because although you're right, it wasn't in one bundle, each gave their own bundle. But since it's Toma Kugoyin, that is Toma the case of Kidu Tarvayu Bahadi Adodi Bechadzimna, they both gave it to him together at one time. So it's one in front of the other, they gave it to him. It's like as if they revealed their intention that they didn't suspect each other. Because they're both coming together, their smiles, they come, here, watch our money. So although each got had their own bundle, but he should suspect that one guy is going to then come and say he's the one that gave 200 and he's the one that gave 200. Why should he think that? Here they are, they're friends, they're coming together. It's like as if they put into one bundle. So therefore, the Amalu, he could tell them, look, you guys weren't particular about each other. You're both coming hand in hand, smiling, coming, bringing me your two deposits. So I should go ahead and be particular. I should go ahead and start checking and suspecting and thinking that one guy's going to make a claim. No. So in the case of the Seifa, it's Yehimunach. You can't take away money from me. It's not his negligence because he's like, why should I suspect when you guys didn't look like you suspect each other? Whereas in the case of the Reisha, where only one guy gave him money, which would be similar to when you have two people giving money at two different times in two different bundles, where of course it's the responsibility of the Shomer. He should have checked and known who gave him what. So therefore, he has to give both of these sons the money because it's his liability, it's his negligence that caused that confusion. So that resolves the contradiction of the deposit. But says the Gemara of Rami Gezla Gezl, there's also the contradiction regarding the halachas of theft. Katani Hacha, we learned over here in the opening case of the Reisha of our Mishnah, if someone says to two people, look, gezalti la'achad mechem mana. I stole from one of you guys a mana. I don't know, I pickpocketed and you guys were both facing that way. I don't remember who it was. Any days I don't know which one of you it was. Or like the case we just described, that the Mishnah says, another similar case is, avish la'achad mechem hifkid li mana. One of your fathers deposited me a mana. Any day ezehu, I don't know which one it was. So it says the Mishnah on both of these cases, the primary one that we want is the first one. Nisn l'zeh manu l'zeh mana. So you have to give each one a mana. On that, as so we have a case of Gezel, where we say that when it's a situation of doubt, you don't know who it is that you stole from, you have to give each one. On that, as the Gemara Verimini, but pose that as the contradiction with the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos. The Mishnah says, Gezel Echad Michamisha. Somebody stole from five different people, meaning he took one money and from a group of people, let's say the five people around had the money down, he stole one of their monies. Now, but any day, Ezman Gezel, he doesn't know whose money he stole from. There was a group of five. Zelimer Isigaz. This guy says, you stole from me. Vizelimer Isigaz. And this guy says, no, you stole from me. Each guy's claiming that the money stolen was from him. So says the Mishnah over there, Manich Gezel Benein Umistalik. He puts the stolen money back and he leaves. The Rib Tafran. I didn't steal $500. I stole $100. I know there's five people. I'm putting it down right where I took it. You guys can fight over it who I stole from, but I'm giving only the $100 that I stole. That's the Rib Tafran. So says the Gemara, Amma, so we see, Misfeka Loimafkin Mamaina. When a guy has a situation of doubt of who he stole money from, we do not remove more than what he stole to pay back all the doubtful arenas. Vamrina, then we say to the contrary, Ukum Mamaina Cheskis Mari, that no, the guy's own money remains in his possession. He doesn't have to give more than what he stole. Now, moreover, continues the Gemara, Ubimaidim Asneet in the Hacher Ptarfani. We're asking a contradiction from that Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, which recorded the opinion of Reb Tarfon. How do we know that our Mishnah goes like Reb Tarfon, that we should pose this contradiction? Maybe our Mishnah is going like Reb Akiva, who actually disagrees with Reb Tarfon dear Masechet Yevamos, and he actually says, Loizu haderech. That's not the way you could exempt yourself from a sin of theft. You have to actually pay the theft to each and every single person. So, wait, our Mishnah then would be exactly like Reb Akiva. So why are we posing it as a contradiction? And that says the Gemara, because the Tani Allah dehi. We learned in the Brayis explaining that Mishnah with the Masechet Yevamos that says that Meid Reb Tarfon, the Reb Tarfon agrees that although he says that you could just give to the one amount and leave, and you don't have to pay each one, he agrees, Ba'im al-Shnayim, when you tell two people, which is exactly the case of our Mishnah, when you tell two people, Gizati le'echad mechem mana, I stole from one of you guys a mana, ve'eni deiz mechem, I don't know which one of you it is that I stole from, sh'neisen lezem manu lezem mana, that he has to give each and every one, he has to give both those people a mana. So obviously Reb Tarfon agrees to the Allah of our Mishnah. So I'm really back to the question, so then what's the difference? It's actually a contradiction of the Braisa and the Mishnah, but it's the case of our Mishnah and that Mishnah, which is obviously like Reb Tarfon, because Reb Tarfon and the Braisa agrees to the Allah of our Mishnah, then what's the difference? Why over there do you not have to give back to everyone that there's a doubtful who you stole from? And here in this case of when he tells one the mana and the other one that I'm not sure who I stole the mana from, he has to give back to each one the mana. So the Gemara answers, Hasam over there in that Mishnah, Masechet Yevamos, the Ketovile. It's where they're coming to claim, each one saying, you stole from me. Now, he doesn't want to have to give more than what the law would mandate. Now, and the truth is, out of doubt, we can't make him liable to give $500 when he stole only $100. So therefore, the halacha Reb Tarfon says, you put it down and let them fight over it. Hacha, but here says the Gemara, in our Mishnah, or like in the Braisa, where it explains Reb Tarfon agrees to the halacha of our Mishnah, that he has to give to each one the mana, is bebolotzis yidei shemayim. It's where he wants to fulfill his heavenly obligation, where he comes and he asks to his rabbi, and he says, what should I do that I don't get punished for stealing? where there, most definitely, we tell him, look, you want to fulfill your heavenly obligation, then you can't fulfill it until you give to each one the mana that you possibly stole from each one, because if you're just going to leave it, then it's going to come out the guy who you really stole from is really losing because you're never paying it back. So since you want to make sure you gave back the gzela and you don't know who it is, so you have to give back to each one. So therefore, that doesn't contradict, because there it's me'ikra din, b'dei bezdin, and here it's tomat b'dei shemayim. Says the Gemara, Dekanami, a precise reading will indicate the reason of our Mishnah, that it's coming to tell us that it's because he wants to fulfill his heavenly obligation from the punishment and not just for the court's din. Because actually, yeah, the court's din would be, you don't have to give to each one, because as a suffix, so then we say, okay, mo'ne b'ches kismari. But here it's to be yetzi your heavenly obligation. How do we know it? Because the Tani, we learn in the Mishnah that tells us what's the reason of this halacha. It says, which even as we read the Mishnah, we said we'll explain the Gemara, was shahidim mipi atzmai, because he admitted on his own. What does that mean? It means to say that no one is claiming money from him. Meaning it sounds like, so then if no one's claiming money from him, so why is he paying at all? It's because he's asking a shayla. He wants to know. He wants to fulfill his obligation, meaning he doesn't want to get punished for the theft. Shema mino, that infers that what we said is correct. To resolve the questions of the contradiction of the Mishnah, we resolve the contradictions of deposits, where it depends if it is his fault or it's not his fault. If it's like kerech echad, like when they both come at the same, when they come at different times, or like in the case of a Mishnah where it was one person gave it to him, then it is his fault, then he has to give to each one by deposit. Versus the case of the Seifa, when they both come at the same time, it's like, you didn't suspect each other, I should suspect, then he's not going to be chayiv. And so as we just explained regarding the case of Gezel, how do we resolve the contradiction of our Mishnah, the Mishnah of Reb Tarfon there in Masechta Yevamos, is there he just wants to fulfill, what does the law say? The law says it's a suffix, you don't have to give more than what you stole, fine, you only have to give back the one amount and let the five people fight over it. Here, it's Tomei wants to fulfill his heavenly obligations, so then you have to give to each one because you have to get your money back to the one who was stolen from and you don't know who it is. Amamar, the Gemara goes back to what was just previously said, that the Gemara had answered that the difference between our Mishnah and Mishnah Masechta Yevamos was that Hasam over there in Masechta Yevamos, the reason why Reb Tarfon exempts him, that he only has to give the 100 that he stole and doesn't have to give it to each one who's claiming he stole from him $100, is the Katavile. That's where they're claiming from him. And he's like, no, I don't want to give. Versus, again, in our Mishnah where he's asking, he wants to give, he wants to fulfill his heavenly obligation. And that asks the Gemara, now, Vahalo Matoin. Each guy's claiming, oh, you took the money from the table and there's five people here. Each one's claiming you took from me. And he doesn't want to give more than what he stole. Ask the Gemara, Vahalo Matoin. What is he claiming? What is he telling each guy that's saying, you stole my money? Tell me the answer. You stole my money. What is he saying when Reb Tarfon paskins that he could just put what he stole down and just remove himself? What is he responding to their tightness when they each one claim you stole my money? So on that, the Gemara has a machlekes. Rav Yehuda Rav says, Halo Shaisik. He's silent. He doesn't answer each guy. Rav Masna Amar Rav, he says in the name of Rav, that Halo, that actually that guy, the defendant, as you continue to base, is Tzeveach. He's screaming. He tells each and every one, I don't recognize you. I don't know that I took the money from you. So the Gemara explains, Manda Mahalo Tzeveach, the one who holds that the guy has to be screaming back at each guy who claims to him, because Avashtika Kaida, if he was silent, when the guy says, you stole my money, and he doesn't say, that's like admission. And then he actually would be chayav to that guy. But Manda Mahalo Shaisik, according to one who says that, no, he's silent, is that Shtika Daha Chalav Kahidahu. In this case, being silent does not connote admission. Because although generally Shtika is like a dog, because if you didn't agree, you would say it, here, Motzei Amalei, here he could say that Haide Shtiki L'Chalchad V'Chad, the reason why I was silent when each guy comes to me and tells me you stole my money, was not because I'm admitting, it's because Damino Dilma Haihu, because I said, yeah, maybe he's that guy, but that doesn't mean I admit I stole his money. I don't know whose it was. So therefore, it doesn't have to be that he's screaming back. He could even be silent and still he wouldn't be Chayiv more than the amount that he stole, because here it wouldn't mean necessarily Shtika Kaida. Now, Amamah, the Gemara says that we had quoted the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos when we quoted the opinion of Reb Tarfon, that he said, Manich Gezela B'Neim U'Mistalik, as we explained, because he doesn't want to necessarily fulfill his heavenly obligation, just what would it be required in the halachas of Chesh and Mishpat, in monetary law, he could just put the theft that he stole back over there and he removes himself from the situation. Doesn't have to give it to each one who's claiming that it's from him. Now, the Gemara asks, is that what comes out is, V'shakilu kulu v'azli. So what comes out is that each guy is going to take, and he's going to take from it. So let's say there were five people, and there was $100 that was stolen. Each guy's claiming $100 was him. So let's say there's five people there. Each guy, let's say, will grab $20 out of the 100, and then they'll go ahead and disperse. Now, what comes out is that the ganav will just, that we said he could just put the money down, ultimately, he's causing a loss for the true victim forever. Because the true victim is not getting his money back. Because all these other guys are claiming that it's theirs and they're going to grab the money, he's not getting his $100 back. On that, as the Gemara, how could Reb Tarfon say that? But Va'amar Reb Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav, he says, Kol Savaki Nuach, any situation where it's doubtful if the owner put this down. For example, let's say somebody's walking by someone, he finds somebody that doesn't have a siman, doesn't have a sign, it doesn't have any indicating features of who the owner would be able to identify it with. On the side of somewhere, meaning it's a little bit protected, it looks like someone put it there on the side. Or at least it's doubtful if somebody deliberately put it down over there. Now, the reason why is maybe the guy put it there is because people don't usually pass over there. So it'd be the type that someone maybe put it there. You know, he doesn't have a siman, but he had to go somewhere and he left it over there. So it's doubtful. Maybe somebody left it over there, tied it there in the meantime. That said, Rav, l'ketchila lo yito. So initially, the one who finds it shouldn't take it. The reason being is because when the real owner is going to come, he's not going to find it over there. And now, moreover, is that there's no siman over there that it could be announced for him to then reclaim and get his thing back. So therefore, we say that the guy who finds it should leave it over there, and that the owner can then come and take back what's his that he hid over there. Now, says Rashi, actually, that this halacha is for sure would apply when it was definitely placed over there. As the Mishnah taught in the Chafeim at Beis, if somebody finds a vessel in a garbage dump that's covered over, you shouldn't touch it because for sure it's there that someone hid it over there. He had to go and leave it somewhere. In the meantime, he's going to come back and get it later. And don't take it, because if you take it, the guy's not going to have a siman to get it back. Now, but says Rav, Vim not the loyachzer. If the guy who found it did take it, then you don't give it back. In other words, if let's say somebody comes along and says that it's mine, and I have no siman to give in it, and you know that I have no siman because the thing has no siman, that said, Rav, you don't return it to that person, because maybe it's not his. And maybe ultimately the real owner will come and he'll bring witnesses that he put it over there, and therefore then that would be an indicator that it says, even though there's no siman in the object, but he'll have witnesses that he put over there. So therefore the halacha is that it remains in the hand of the one who found it until Eliyahu Nabi comes. Because although the words are lo yachzer, that he doesn't return it to the person, that doesn't mean that he gets to keep it. Because actually when he took it, it was in what's called be'isser. It was before the owner was meyayish, and therefore, if it was deliberately put over there, it was still in the domain of the owner. The moment he picks up, he has an obligation to return it. So that's Allah of Rav. So one thing that we see is that something that's doubtful whose it is, it has to remain in the hand of the one who has it until it's clarified whose it is. You can't just return it to someone out of doubt, because maybe it's not his, and maybe the real owner will come one day with Adim. So a situation of doubt, you can't just give back, you have to hold on to it. So how could Reb Tarfon have said that, oh, okay, we don't know whose it is, but just give it back and let the five people fight over it, and even if the real victim will finally lose out. But we see that's not the halacha, as we find by halachas of Mitziah. We say that you have to hold on to it till you find out whose it is. So why are we saying that he puts it back and then removes himself? So that Reb Tarfon actually says that you're right. This that Reb Tarfon said that the person is mistalik, that he removes himself from the five people that claim that it was them who were the victim, it doesn't mean that he puts it in front of them and that they take it and then he just leaves. It doesn't mean that he actually puts it there. Rather, it means v'yaniach, that it remains in his hand, the one who stole it, until it gets clarified. This, it says that he's mistalik, it means the end of the judgment. And when it says yaniach gezel b'fneim, that he puts the stolen object in front of them, what that means, it means in court. And he tells the court, let them verify who it was and let him take it. And he's mistalik from the din. And then, but up until then, the gzela is remaining with the one who stole it until Yah never comes. It actually is the same as that halacha of Rav. It doesn't mean that he puts it there and he leaves. It means he puts it in front of court and then he leaves and says, okay, if anyone will ever verify, they'll take it. But you don't put it there because you're right. When it's a suffix of whose it is, you don't just put it that the guy will then lose it. Now the Gemara asks on the end of that mission in Masechet Yevamos that we quoted before, when one person stole from five, Amalei Abaye LeRava. The other opinion, besides Reb Tarfon over there, was Reb Akiva. So on that as Abaye to Rava, Mi Amar Reb Akiva, does Reb Akiva say, as he says over there in the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, he disagrees with Reb Tarfon. He says, Leizu HaDerech Mitziyasim De'Avera, that is not an approach to remove someone from a sin that he did, that he stole from somebody, to just put it down and let the five people fight over it. No, says Rabbi Kiva, Achi Yisham Gezel Cholchad V'chad. You stole, it's your responsibility to return what was stolen. You don't know who it is. You got to return the amount that you stole to each and every one of those five people. Says the Gemara, says Abaya, Alma Misveka Mefkin Memoina. So we see that according to Rabbi Kiva, out of doubt, we remove money from the guy who stole to have to pay to each one of those guys. And we don't say that his own money remains in his possession and only what he stole then he gives back. No, he has to actually give even more than his own money because he has to take care of the doubt that he created regarding the theft. And that has the Gemara Ramini. But that seems to be contradicted by a Mishnah Masechtas Baba Basra. The Mishnah says, Nafal habayis olav va'al imoy. If there is a son and his mother in a house, and the house collapses, and both the mother and the son die. Now, we don't know who died first. And moreover, the mother had certain assets that she had from her father's household that now are up for inheritance. So now we have a disagreement. We don't know what happened. Yerusha ben Imrim. So the inheritors of the son, they say, maybe, and that's what they're trying to stake a claim, Ha'im Meisarishayna. The mother died first. Now, if the mother died first, what that means to say is the son was still alive when she had died, although when we come hours later, we find both the mother and the son dead. But that means to say before the son died, the mother died first. So the son inherits his mother, as the halacha of Yerusha is. Now, afterwards is when they're claiming the son died, and we who were there, we're the inheritors of the son, we now inherit all the mother's assets, because the son inherited from her, and we inherited from him. But Yerusha aim, but the inheritors of the mother, meaning her family, from her father's household, they say to the relatives of the son of the mother, from the family of his father, who they're coming to inherit the son, they tell them, no, Haben Meis Rishon, the son died first, and therefore the mother was still alive when the son died, and therefore he never inherited his mother when she died, that you should inherit the mother's assets through the son. Rather, the son died first, and then the mother died, and we're going to inherit the woman, because she's from our family, because the son was dead already by the time that she died. So says the Mishnah Baba Basra, that Elu ve'elu, both Beshame and Beshil, where although they disagree regarding similar cases regarding Yerusha and Perek Mishameis, that Beshame say that when there's a disagreement, that then the Yerusha Ha'em and the Yerusha Ben, that they split it, and Beshil say that no, the Nechasim remain in the Chazaka, which one it was up until now, as we find by a husband and the wife, where Nechsim and Lug, Nechsim Barzal, there's different assets where up until now, who was in possession of it, they retain it. Now that there's a Savik, they retain those Nechasim. And that says the Mishnah of Abbas. In this case, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would agree that Maidim Sheikh Leku, they agree that here they would split it, the Yerusha Aim and the Yerusha Ben. That's what Tanakhama says. The Amr Rabbi Kiva, and that's the one we want to ask the contradiction, Rabbi Kiva said, no, Maidani Bezu. Although I'm from the camp of Beis Shammai, and I say that generally when it comes to other Yerushas, that then the two different parties, they split it. Here in this case, I agree to Beis Hillel that Shanachasim Mecheskasim, that actually the assets will remain in the Chazaka, the presumptive state they were up until now, and the Halacha is not going to be Achleiku. Now that my Rome over there and over there in Baba Basra disagree regarding, so whose Chazaka was it up until now? And there the Gemara explains the reason. But one thing that the Gemara is asking is that what does Rabbi Kiva say? That uki mimayne becheskis mare, that although there's a doubt, you retain the previous chazaka. Now that contradicts his halacha over there where he said that the uki mimayne, you don't say uki mimayne becheskis mare. That when it's a doubt, you do have to fulfill your doubtful obligations. So how do we understand the contradiction in Rabbi Kiva? So that amalei, so Rabbi said to Abaya, hasam shema v'shema. There in that Mishnah Baba Basra, it's where both of them, the inheritors of the son, inheritors of the mother, are coming with doubtful claims. Nobody was there at the moment of death. No one knows who died first. So therefore, that's where Rabbi Kiva says that Nechasim retained their chazaka, because no one has any definitive claims. So okay, whatever the chazaka was up until now, it remains with that. But Gazel Echad Mechamisha, but the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, when one person stole from five, is a case of Bari Vishema, where each one of those five people are making a definite claim, saying, you stole the money from me. Which is a Tainas Vaday. And he's saying, I don't know. I don't know which one of you guys I stole from. Which is a Tainas Shema, a maybe. And a Bari, a definite claim, is better than a doubtful claim. And that's why you don't say over there, Ukim Mayim Cheskes Mari. But that doesn't contradict the Mishnah in Baba Basra, which is Shema and Shema. They both don't know. Then you remain with the Chazaka versus over there, it's Bari B'Shema. So the Bari will win over the Shema. He'll have to give to each one of those five. On this, the Gemara asks, but Vamasnit in the Hacha, but our Mishnah says, Amalishnaim Gizati Le'echad Mechem Mana. When one person says to two people, I stole from one of you guys a mana, but I don't know which one. With the Shema Veshema, who, with that's a case of doubtful, they don't know, and he doesn't know who he stole the mana from. And yet, Ugtani Nesl Zeman, Ula Zeman, and still our Mishnah taught that he has to give to each one, and you don't say Ukumimaina, even though Shema Veshema. Now, moreover, continues the Gemara. And how do I know that our Mishnah goes with Rebbe Akiva to ask it as a contradiction for what we just said is his opinion, that by Shema Veshema, you don't say that you give to each one, and you do remain with the Chazakah? Because Ugtani Allah Dahi, because we had learned in the Brisa, in elaboration of that Mishnah over there, Masechtas Yevamos, when one person steals from five. As we quoted this before, it says that Moed Reb Tarfon, the Reb Tarfon agrees, he agrees in the case of our Mishnah, when one person tells to two people, I stole from one of you mana, the any days, and I don't know which one from you it is, which is the case of our Mishnah, that then he has to give to each one a mana, chulu, etc. So on that explains the Gemara, Laman Moed, who is Reb Tarfon agreeing to? Lavel Reb Akiva Bar Plukta, isn't he agreeing to his dispute over there in that Mishnah, Masechtas Yevamos, Reb Akiva? So you see that Rebbe Kiva obviously holds the halacha of the Mishnah, and it's Reb Tarfon agreeing to him. Now, umimai deshema v'shemahu, and how do we know that the case of our Mishnah is where both the guy who stole from one of them a mana and the guys who are the possible victims are both don't know that they're both maybe? Is first of all chada deloy katani, because our Mishnah did not say toivinoisi that they're staking a claim. Our Mishnah didn't say that each one says, Oitzi Gazla, I'm the one that you stole the mana from. So obviously it's because they don't know. And he also doesn't know, as the words in the Mishnah say. V'oid, moreover, Hatan Rebbechi clearly taught to that Braisa, which explains that Mishnah Mesech Zivamis of when I stole from one of you guys a mana. In his Braises, he learned explicitly that it's Toma where one person tells the two people, I stole from one of you guys a mana, and I don't know who it is. That ze oimer eini idea, the ze oimer eini idea. This guy says I don't know, and this guy says I don't know. And on still that the Brisa is teaching like the halacha of a Mishnah that you give each one a mana, where we see although it's a case of shema v'shema, and as we proved that our Mishnah is going like even like Reb Akiva because it's Reb Tarfon who's agreeing to Reb Akiva that you will say he has to give, and you don't say ukemayim cheskes mari. So we have a contradiction in Reb Akiva's opinion of shema v'shema if you have to give then or not if you say ukemayim cheskes mari. That the Gemara answers how ikim no law. We already explained that the halacha of our Mishnah is different because it's toma bebolotzes yidei shemayim. It's where he's coming to fulfill his heavenly obligation. And as Tosfos points out, this that Reb Tarfon says to Reb Akiva that meida that he agrees to Reb Akiva, it means just like you say by shema v'shema that he has to pay for each and every person to fulfill his heavenly obligation. So too, I agree with you over here. In other words, but it doesn't contradict Reb Akiva. Kiva holds when it's Shema V'Shema, you remain with your Chazakah, and you don't give. However, in our Mishnah, where it is Shema V'Shema, and you do give, and you don't remain with your Chazakah, is for a different reason, because you're right, the primary din is you don't give. But he wants to fulfill his heavenly obligation. Heavenly obligation, okay, you don't know who you stole from, so, okay, you want to make sure you're doing tshuva, and you did Hashem B'Zegzela, so give to each and every person. But that doesn't contradict the primary opinion of Rebbe Kiva, that generally by Shema V'Shema, you don't have to give. Now, the Gemara goes back to what was mentioned before. Amale Ravina Ravashi. Umi Amar Rava, does Rava really say, and we had quoted Rava previously to resolve the contradiction, there were two contradictions regarding the halachas of Pekadin and the halachas of Gezel. So Rava was quoted in the resolution of the Risha and the Sefer of a Mishnah regarding Pekadin, if it is his responsibility to know who it is that he owes it to or not. So Rava said that Kol B'Shtei Kriches, whatever is in two different bundles, which again was how he was explaining the case of the ratio, when it was one person that gave him the deposit, that then he should have been careful. So that's like two different bundles from two different people at two different times, that havalei lemedik, then he should have been careful, he should have checked. Therefore, he is responsible to give each one a mana that maybe it was his father that deposited. In contrast to the sefer, we're both coming at the same time. He says, wait, you guys are not particular, I should have been particular. Now, on this halacha, the Gemara asks, does Rava really say that when it's two different bundles, then he should have been careful? But Va'amar Rava, but Rava said, V'itim, and some say it was Rav Papa, Hakol Maidim, everyone agrees. This is in reference to a Machligis, Rav Tavin, and Rav Akiva, which recorded Masech Tzbacharias, after Tchesim Abeis, that although they disagree, but they all agree, B'shnaim Shef Kidu Eitzel Raya. When two people deposit their sheep by a shepherd, one gives one sheep, and one gives two sheep. Now, when they come back to claim their sheep, each one says that I'm the one that gave you the two sheep. And that says, Rava, that everyone agrees, Sheminiach roi b'neim umistalik, that the shepherd could just leave the sheep in front of them and remove himself from that. And he doesn't have to give from his own sheep to say, well, you guys claim it's two, you claim it's two. You know what, guys, fight it out. You know, you guys together gave me three. Here, he gives it to them, and then he removes himself from that. Now, the question of the Gemara is that that case is essentially like the case of shtei kriches. Because even if they deposit their sheep at the same time, but it's something that's visible, you have animals which are large things, you could tell who brought one and who brought two. Now, as Rashi explains, because in contrast to when they're giving bundles of money, since each one has it in the bundle, so he forgets who's the one that gave the large bundle, who gave the small bundle, since they're coming and giving it at the same time as the way Rav explained in the Seifa. But regarding sheep, it's obvious who's giving two and who's giving one. It would be the same as when people gave their bundles of money at different times. And therefore, the question is, even so, Rav says that the shepherd's going to be exempt, meaning that he should not have had to check. But that contradicts to the halacha of shtei kriches, because Rav said that when he should have known, like when it came at two different times, two different bundles, where he, even if it's at the same time, as Rashi explains, the animals, you could clearly tell. It's not like bundles which you can't tell, and like, okay, you guys came at the same time, and I put it on the side, I couldn't have noticed. Here, you should have noticed. He's giving two animals, one animal, and still Rav says that the shepherd's going to be exempt. That contradicts Rav's clarification of the halacha of Mishnah regarding shtei kriches, where you should have checked and you should have known. On that Amalei, on that the Gemara says, Rav Ashi responds to Ravina, Hasam over there in that halacha of Rava regarding the shepherd, it's Kishefkidu be'edrishal royish lemidaiti. We're talking about where they deposited in the flock of the shepherd without his awareness. So, of course, they shouldn't have known because they just put it there and then they come back and claim and say, guys, I weren't there. How should I have known? Now, as Taisa points out, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that they gave it without his awareness. It just means that he just didn't see it when they put it in. So therefore, he didn't have to analyze and know who gave what. That's why he says, guys, look, I wasn't there when you put it in. I didn't have to know, therefore. And therefore, here, you gave me, one guy gave two, one gave one. You're both saying it's two. Here's the three and fight it over. That Rebbe would agree to. That's not like the halacha. When they gave it to him and he should have noticed, then it's like, as he said in the halacha of the Reish HaMishnah, that's like shtei kriches, where he would be chayiv. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, just like as we discussed up until now, in the Seifa, where it spoke about where two people deposited money with a person. One gave 100, one gave 1,000, and each one's claiming that he's the one that gave them more money. Says the Mishnah, V'chein shnei kelim. Same thing is also with two utensils, two vessels, the same thing. Echad yafa mana, v'echad yafa elav zuz v'chulu. One guy gave something, a vessel worth 100, one gave worth something worth 1,000. So just like we have the machlekes regarding money, we have the same machlekes Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yisi here too. What do? The Tanna Kamma says you give each one what's definitely the common denominator between both of them. Of the small one, you give one, and then from the big one, you give that value of that big one to one, and the rest is Yehimunach. To Rabbi Yisi, he says, wait a second, what's the Rama going to lose then? Why would that be an incentive for him to admit? Rather, you take both vessels and Yehimunach for both, and no one gets anything until someone comes and admits that he's the one that was lying. So the Gemara says, Utricha, what was the necessity of saying both? They're seemingly the same machlekes. Why add on another type of a case? Says the Gemara, because diyash minan hach kamaisa, had we only had the first case mentioned, that of money, but hi ka'ami rabbanan, maybe I would say there is where the rabbis say their opinion, that each one will get what definitely is his, and only the rest is yehimunach, b'shem deleka b'seida, because there is no loss in giving back each one what is definitely theirs, and only what's the suffix is put on the side. Aval baha, but in the case of kalim, the ikabasei to the gadol, there is a loss of the large vessel, because two different gersayis and Rashi, either because they're going to have to break it to get the value of what how much the smaller one is out of the larger one, or they have to sell it. But when Eliyahu Navi is going to come along and tell us who it really was, it comes out that now there's a irretrievable loss over here, because either they have to break it to give him at least the value of this, of how much the small one is in the big one, so they have to break it to take off the pieces, or they have to sell it, now it's not available anymore. So maybe maybe I would say that in the case of the Kalim, they would agree to Rabbi Yasi that no, you don't tamper with the big one because we don't know whose it is, but say put them both on the side because we can't go ahead and give each one, in contrast to money, it's $300, give him 100, fine, there's no loss, and the extra 100 you put on the side. But here you're going to cause a loss because you're going to give one the small one, you're going to want to give the other one the value of the small one and the big one, how are you going to do that? You're going to sell it, it's not available anymore. The guy who really owns it now lost his kli. So maybe there we would say they'd agree to Rabbi Yasi that you put it on the side. That's right to say that there too. Now, Vietnam Beha, had we only said the case of Kalim, Beha come Rabbi Yasi, then we would say that only over there Rabbi Yasi says that it's Munach And the reason for that is because, as we explained, that's a case of it's going to be a loss for the large, the owner of the expensive kli. Al bahach, but in the case of money, imoid lo rabbanon, we would say that Rabbi Yisrael would agree with the rabbanon that yes, give this guy the 100 that's for sure his, and here's the 100 that's for sure his, and the third 100 that you would put on the side. So tricha, that's right to say both cases that you have the machlekes Rabbi Yisrael and the rabbanon. Now that the Gemara continues on the top of Lamechesem and Alpha and asks, how can you say that? But for the time with Rabbi Yisi, the reason Rabbi Yisi, as he says clearly in the Mishnah, is Mishum Hefsed Aramayhu, is because we need to create some incentive for the Ramay to admit, so we need to create a loss for him. So if that's the reason why Rabbi Yisi says you put all of it on the side, so then why would we think it would be a difference if it's a case of a Kaili or of money? How would we entertain to say that, oh, by the case of money, where there's no loss of the Kli Gadol, then he would admit to the Rabbanan? But why would he admit? Why would Rabbi Yisi admit? Of course he wouldn't. He would say that no, there would be no incentive anymore by money too. So why did the halacha of the Mishnah have to say the reisha of mammon if Rabbi Yisrael Bishur does not differentiate between kli and mammon? So then just say the case of kli. By the rabbanon, you said if you only said mammon, you wouldn't have known that they say that the same thing by mammon, by kli. But Rabbi Yisrael clearly doesn't differentiate because he doesn't want to give anything back to anyone so that the Ramah has an incentive, that there's motivation for him to admit. So then just say the case of kli. So the Gemara says, Ella, you're right. Tavayu l'rabbanon itzrich. Both cases are necessary to tell us only a chiddush in the halacha of the Rabbanan. Because you're right. Had we said the case of Kalim in the Reisha, then there would be no more necessity of saying the case of money. Because it's only the case of Kali that's a chiddush for the Rabbanan, but again, Rabbi Yisi, there wouldn't be any difference. But what the Gemara is answering is, but now that in the Reisha, the first case mentioned was that of money, so that's why it was additionally mentioned the case of Kali, to say that not only in the case of money, where there is no loss of a large kli, did the Rabbanan say that you give each one the definite value that each one has in this, but even in the case of the seifa of a keli, where there's going to be an irretrievable loss of the owner of the large kli, still you say that, and it's v'loizu avzukatani. It's in the format of what's called not only this, but even this. You're right. In other words, we could have just said the case of kli, and we would have known everyone's opinions. But sometimes, there are times at the time the Mishnah says it in the way of this, and not only that, but even that. And the primary chiddush is the bigger one, which is the second one. But you're right, for Rabbi Yisi, there's no difference, because either way, we don't want him to get anything. But according to Rabbanan, that's the chiddush, not only by money, where there's no irretrievable loss, according to their opinion that they don't hold of this, that we need the Ramai to admit, but even in the case of Kali, where there's going to be irretrievable loss for the owner of the Kli Gadol, still what we do is we give the small one to one person, let's say it's worth 100, we give the value of that small one to the owner of, out of the other one, meaning the one that's worth 1,000, we sell it, we give 100 of that to another person, and the remaining 900, according to Rabbanan, is put on the side, that's a chiddush, even though it's going to be a loss of the Kli Gadol, that is, was required, the two cases for the opinion of the Rabbanan.